educating another child. How many knows there's something a little different about our kids?
Most of those that were up here, we have got to dedicate them to the Lord. Most of them. And how many knows it does make a difference? And that something has, we've gotten a breakthrough at the church. Right? We've got a breakthrough in that area of our children. And from this passage that I want to read today to you in Matthew 21:12, is Jesus coming into Jerusalem. And it's in this passage where it says that out of the mouths of babes and suckers, he's perfected for us. I'm going to talk to you about that, and then we're going to dedicate Reed, man. And we're going to just emphasize the importance of bringing our children to the Lord. Matthew 21:12, and Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that did what? Sold and bought. Just a thought there. I was going to use this. I was going to talk about this just a little bit for the offering, and then read this passage, minister to it just a little bit, and then go into the thing. But Sheila fixed all that up. There was no need of me talking after Sheila got done. I just messed up. But when Jesus came into town, he went to the temple and he cast out them that sold and bought. Now we understand the selling part, the merchandising, the things of God, making money off the things of God. But notice there too that it's both them that sold and bought. See, what they would do is, this was Passover time, and they would come in to Jerusalem and they would just run up to the temple and get them a quick lamb and sacrifice it, and just do an offering real quick. And this was totally contrary to what God had told him to do in the book of Exodus. In the book of Exodus, he says, I want you to go get you a lamb, a perfect lamb, a one-year-old lamb. I want you to take it and keep it in your house for 4 days. You're on the 10th day, you're going to sacrifice it the 14th day. How many knows that after 4 days of this little ewe lamb in your house, you're going to get it attached a little bit, and now what you got to do is kill it and eat it. And so what he was saying, Jesus didn't like that. He says, you're not doing it right. When you get an offering, when you give an offering to the Lord, you need to spend some time with that offering. I had somebody this past week said, I want to give an offering. I want to give an offering, a real sacrificial offering, and I want to do it. And I was telling him, I said, what you need to do now, don't just run into church and do it. You take that offering, and you spend some time with it, you pray over it, you let it get in your heart, you get an expectancy, and you, what God's going to do for you, then you bring your offering. See, they told natural Israel, they said, get that in your heart. Take this lamb, keep it in your house for 4 days. And then you start thinking, he's going to deliver us. He's going to take us out. In 4 days, he's going to deliver us with a mighty hand. And what we do, and what we've always been told to do, and what we've pretty much been taught to do, is we run to church, we buy us a lamb, and we sacrifice it. A quick lamb. A quick offering. And Jesus doesn't like that. And he didn't only run those out that sold, but he also ran those out that bought. And so, what I was going to share before Sheila did such a good job was that make sure that you just don't run in here and do a religious thing on Sunday. You need to meditate about it. You need to be ready when you come into the house of the Lord. You need to come in with an offering, something that you've anticipated about, and that you're ready for God to do something in your lives. We run in here, we write our checks out, right up there and put them in the bucket. Get an anticipation in your heart and in your spirit about what God's going to do for you because you're doing it. Take that blood and put it on your doorpost. You find out what he said he's going to do, and you don't let him go until he does it. Amen? God wants to do things for us, but there's a way that he says to do them. And so Jesus came in, and he drove out them that sold and bought in the temple, and he opened the tables and the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you've made it into a den of thieves. You understand why he ran out those that sold. You're making the house of God into a merchandise. He also ran those out that bought as well. And then verse 14 is something that's very interesting. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. This is amazing. Now think about this. Here he comes into town. He goes into the temple. He looks around. He takes a whip out and he starts running everybody out, turning over tables. And the next thing he does is start healing people. Let's put it into a perspective so that we can get a handle on this. All right, we're here at the church and we're having one of our fundraisers out here in the parking lot. I'm not saying that our fundraisers are mercantile, but they could be. And we're out there and we're out there in the parking lot. And here comes these guys up, this one guy with his buddies, and they walk up on the parking lot. They stand around for a little while and they start looking at things. And all of a sudden, he pulls this whip out. And he starts running after people and turning our tables over and kicking our booths down and just going in a fit of rage through our parking lot. I mean, this guy's crazy. And so what do? Well, we call the police, right? Somebody's going to get hurt out there. This guy's crazy. And so we go call the police. Well, in the meantime, there's this woman out there that was blind. Everybody knows she's blind. She didn't have any eyeballs in her, and just empty sockets. And she was with a cane, and she couldn't run when he starts running around. And she's just standing there. And so in the meantime, while we're waiting on the police to get here, he walks over to her, he lays hands on her, and all of a sudden, she can see. And everybody knew she was blind, but now she can see. Now this same guy, the same idiot, that was running people out with a whip and turning tables over and having a fit, now all of a sudden, heals this woman of blindness. And there's another guy over there in a wheelchair, crippled with arthritis, can't walk, and he walks over to this guy and he heals him. Guy gets up and starts walking around. Police come up. Now what do we do? We're going to listen to the police. We're going to listen to this guy. Put eyeballs in this woman and made this lame guy walk. And you see, people will see the wonderful things that happen. And this is what happened here. When you read that next verse, you see that. You see that's exactly what happened. The blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. Verse 15, and when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. See, the people see wonderful things God does. But how many of you understand that no matter how good our church is, no matter how wonderful our school does, no matter how magnificent the praise and worship is, no matter how good our children do, dance and praise God, no matter how many breakthroughs we get through, how many people get saved, how many people get devils off of them, how many, whatever happens, how many know that the priests and the scribes in our area are going to be displeased? Why? Because it's not happening there. And we all are kind of that way. And this is what happened. Jesus did these things, but it still displeased people. And so, what we've got to understand is that there's something here that the Lord wants to say to us today, and the emphasis and the whole purpose of my reading this passage and getting into this passage is that he says that it's out of the mouths of babes and sucklings. He perfected praise. That word perfected praise there means a spontaneous praise. Let's do it just now. The word means just now. How many knows that when we start praise and worship, as soon as that bomb bump, bomb bump, bom, bom, bom. That a spontaneous thing happens in our kids, and here they come, like a covey of quail coming in. But here they come, man. And I'm telling you, there has been a breakthrough that's happened here at the church. There's something that's happened, and we need to understand that God has done something in our kids. And it's out of them that He's going to perfect something. It's out of them that they're going to lead us, and the Bible teaches us that except to become is what? A little child. You can't even enter into the kingdom. How many of you wished that you could do that? That when, mama, mama, that you could start doing that? That there was this anticipation, this spontaneousness that would just erupt within you, and you could say, I want to do it just now. This happened in our kids. It's happened. Not something that we've got to pray about or ask God to do, Doug. That has been something that we've got to break through. That is here. Our kids go to other places. Well, let's go dance.
Well, maybe they don't dance then. Huh? See, to them, church is praising God. To them, church is coming into the house of the Lord. This is what we call the house of prayer.
Who did then these? The praise of magnifying Him, praising Him for His goodness. They've got into a place, folks. They've entered into a realm. They've got a breakthrough.
And most of these kids that you've watched today do these things, we've got to dedicate them. Most of them have been dedicated to the Lord right here. I'm telling you what we're about to do right now works. Something about dedicating our kids to the Lord. I just showed you proof of it. It works. Take these kids, you dedicate them to the Lord, you train them up in the way they should go, you bring them and you equip them and for the work of the ministry, you teach them the things of God. They'll do it. They'll do it. They love to do it. Because it's out of the mouths of babes and sucklings. You perfected that. Just now.
Amen.
Now we're going to dedicate Reed Man, and what I want to talk to you about is just a little bit about him, and then I'll call you up, guys up Turk and Shirley and whoever else that you're going to be having towards the end of it. But I really want you to hear what I've got to say, because I really believe that the Lord has shown me something, and I want you to hear it, because a lot of times you'd have to come up here and stand. And you miss out on what I'm wanting you to hear, because I think it's very important that you hear this. So I was down yesterday morning and I was preparing, and I don't like to prepare too quickly because I like to be manna for me too. You know, I like it to be fresh manna, Don. I like it to be fresh in me. I don't like to have to eat on it all week long. I like to wait towards the time I minister something and get it fresh in me so that it'll be fresh to you. If it's stale in me, it's going to be stale to you. That's why I like to preach messages more than once or twice. It gets stale. So, as I was meditating yesterday and preparing to dedicate the baby, the Lord just began to really speak to me some things. It's really neat, really neat. How do you know that the Lord is really interested in names? He is interested in your child's name. Now, a lot of us think that we just went through a book and picked out a name, or that this sounded good to us. And we just decided we're going to name our kid this. But how many of you really know that the way it works is God speaks to your heart what you're going to name that child? And that's the way it really works. And I can show you example after example after example in the scriptures, because names mean something. And when somebody wants a baby dedicated, the name of the child is the biggest thing I've got to go on. The babies are usually children, like Reed is how old? 8 months old. So there's nothing that you can build on as far as a life has been. So what you have to do is believe that the scriptures are true and that the names mean their character. And so I really believe that the names mean character and that God is very interested in names. How many knows that it was so important to get Jesus the right name that He sent an angel to Mary and said, "You're going to call Him Jesus." And over and over and over, that just wasn't one time that happened. Let me just recall to your memory, He named Ishmael. Even the Ishmaels of the world. The ones that Ishmael's dad, you know. He names, there's something about a name. And then he named Isaac. He did. He says, "You're going to call him Isaac because he was birthed in laughter." He was. Sarah was in the tent laughing. He said, "Okay, you're going to have a baby named Laughter." Now, you've never named your baby Laughter. Now, Renee, if you ever have another one, I would suggest that maybe you pray about that. The Lord named Isaac. He changed Jacob's name from Jacob to Israel. Because he did what? He changed his nature. And so when the nature changes, the name changes. And so it's very important to God to have a name that goes along with the nature of the individual. He renamed Abram to Abraham. He renamed Sarah, Sarai to Sarah. He named Solomon. And he gave Solomon two names. Not only Solomon, but Jedediah. Now, the Weavers have their youngest child, David. His middle name is Jedediah. And that's really his name. And his name is David Jedediah Weaver. And what it means is Solomon. It's Solomon's other name. It's Solomon means love. Is that right? So we got David Solomon, or David Jedediah, David Love, Weaver. And that's what the word, the name is. Now, we don't call him, I do call him, and Judy calls him Jedediah, but there'd be a time when he probably won't want people to call him Jedediah. But he does, he likes it right now. But there may be a time. But anyway, that's really his name. The Lord named the two sons of Isaiah. Now, one of them's name was Malar-Shalah-Hasbaz. That was one of them's name. Now, I'm not even going to look at the other one. I can get through Malar-Shalah-Hasbaz. And he named the two sons of Hosea, Jezri and Lom. And he named John the Baptist. And he named Jesus. And he probably named you. And he probably named me. And so, your name is important. It is your name that is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And it is your name that means something. And so as I get these baby dedications to do, and I love doing I got the greatest job in the whole world, and I get to do these wonderful things, like dedicate these children. And so today I'm going to get to dedicate Reed Rathbone Garzon. And that's his name. And let me deal with Rathbone first, okay? Rathbone is not in the scriptures. Rathbone comes down the lineage of Shirley. It is one of Shirley's ancestors.